Well, one of the most common objections that opponents of religion make is that there's no real relationship between belief in God and morality. So a lot of atheists and agnostics get upset when theists suggest that somehow not believing in God will conduce toward a moral collapse. And they'll often say things like, well, it's from the consensus of the human race over time, it's from the intuitions of decent people that we get our moral principles, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me just say this right off the bat. I don't think atheists and agnostics are automatically bad people, that they can't have some sense of morality. And I'll say a little bit more about that. But I will say this. There is a very strong and important connection between morality and belief in God. And non-belief in God will indeed, over time, conduce toward a relativization of our morality. So I will maintain that and try to make that argument now by looking at some of the really fundamental principles of Catholic moral philosophy. Let me begin by analyzing a human act. Something as simple as, well, what I'm doing right now. So I'm recording this video. Well, why am I doing that? Well, I want to do my, you know, weekly YouTube commentary, which I've agreed to do. Okay, well, how come I want to do that? Well, I want to communicate the truth of the Catholic faith to people. Well, why do I want to do that? Well, because the truth is something valuable in itself. See, if you analyze any act, even the simplest one, in the way I just suggested, you'll see a number of instrumental moves. You know, you will something because you will it for the sake of something else. But eventually you have to come to some kind of bedrock where you say, no, that's just good in itself. That's a basic or irreducible value. In this instance, truth. Or, you know, another example, just before recording this, I took a swig from a plastic water bottle. How come? Well, I was thirsty. Well, so why did I worry about that? Well, hydrating your body is good for your health. Well, why am I worried about my health? Well, health conduces to life. Well, why do I want that? Well, I've reached another kind of bedrock level. It's a basic good or fundamental value, life, which has provided the foundation for these particular moral choices. Catholic moral philosophy and theology recognizes a number of these, call them basic goods, that's John Finnis's term, or fundamental values, that's what Dietrich von Hildebrand called them, the foundations of the moral life, Thomas Aquinas called them, along with life and truth, you'd find justice, for example, friendship, beauty, etc. These are the basic grammar, if you want, of the moral life. They provide the foundation without which the moral life will in time collapse into subjectivism. Now, remember what Pope Benedict said about a dictatorship of relativism. What was he worried about? He was worried about precisely the occluding of these fundamental values. Think of Catholic moral philosophers who worry about this renient subjectivism in our culture. I mean, what's the problem with that? I do what I want. You do what you want. Well, the problem is these fundamental values are being forgotten, and the self-legislating will is becoming predominant. Here I always think of the great Iris Murdoch, who is an Irish philosopher and novelist. And her wonderful book called The Sovereignty of the Good, she was coming up against this prevalent modern attitude. Her point, she makes it in a million different ways, is that the good is not produced by the will, it's not subservient to the will, but rather the good is sovereign over the will. It imposes itself on the will. Think of Dietrich von Hildebrand again, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Well, when you confront that, you're confronting a value that you didn't invent. It rather has a claim on you. Or when you see something of great moral virtue, it's a value that you can't dispense with and is not a matter of your own choice. So this is what Catholic moral philosophy keeps insisting upon, is the objectivity of these great values. It's also why we speak of intrinsically evil acts in our tradition. That's to say, acts which are by their very nature wrong. Independent of the motivation of the agent, independent of the circumstances that circumscribe the act. So all forms of relativism will say some version of, well, you know, your intention was good, or given those circumstances, even this can be justified. Cabinet moral philosophy, grounded in the basic good, says no. Some acts are, by their very nature, intrinsically repugnant to a basic good. Let's say the direct killing of the innocent. That's an assault on the good of life in a way that cannot be justified by any intention of the agent or any circumstance. Some goods are so fundamental that they cannot be opposed without deep moral guilt. So that's an intrinsically evil act. Okay. That's a sort of basic overview of Catholic moral philosophy. It's insisting on the objectivity of these moral goods. So you might be following this argument so far and saying, okay, I get it. But still, how come an atheist couldn't hold to that and be fine? I mean, couldn't an atheist hold everything you're saying and accept an integral moral life? Well, he could, and I've said that already. He could perceive these basic values. But there is a key relationship now between these values and God. And go back to the act. Let's analyze the act again. So let's say by this very act of recording this video, in some way I've achieved the good of the truth. Not the totality of truth, but I've achieved a certain truth. I've honored the truth in a certain way by doing this video. Is my will satisfied by that achievement? Well, no, obviously. That's why I've done 300 of these videos, because I keep trying to find the greater truth, say more about the truth. Life is enhanced by the act of drinking water. Well, does that mean I've experienced the fullness of life by that act? Well, obviously not. In point of fact, the will is ordered toward these basic goods in their unconditioned form. If we really pay attention to the will, we'll notice that it wants not just particular truths. It wants the truth itself. It wants not just particular goods, particular modes of life, particular types of beauty, particular types of friendship. It wants all those goods in their unconditioned form. That's why Bernard Lonergan said, the mind wants to know everything about everything. Even as you come to know a particular truth, it opens up all this whole range of new questions. St. Augustine said, our heart is restless until it rests in thee. Now, I brought God in the picture a little bit surreptitiously, but not illegitimately, because God in our tradition is the name we give to these fundamental moral goods in their unconditioned form. That's what God is. God's not one more thing in the world, as I've said 1,000 times. God is the unconditioned act of being itself, which is another way of saying the unconditioned true, the unconditioned good, the unconditioned life, unconditioned beauty, unconditioned justice. So the will, by a natural trajectory, moves out toward God. Now, back it up. Go the other way. Now we can begin to see that these objective values that even the most ordinary act reveals, these values, are in fact reflections of and participations in the unconditioned good, true, beautiful, etc. They are, as C.S. Lewis correctly said, signposts to God. See, that's why the moral life, these moral values, are reflective of and indicative of God, these values in their unconditioned form. And this shows now something, and I'll end with this. This shows why. The negation of God, it might not happen immediately. See, in some ways, we're still in our culture going on the fumes of an older form of culture. But the negation of God, if it's done steadily and with intent and purpose, will eventually conduce toward a shaking and occluding and eventually eliminating of these objective moral values, which in turn will lead to what we see a lot of today, the apotheosizing of the ego, of the self-legislating ego. So I'm going to argue that though, you know, an atheist, yes, could perceive these basic goods, in the long run, read Peter Hitchens on this, by the way, Chris Hitchens' brother. Read him on this, very interesting. In the long run, a steady negation of God will lead to a moral erosion. And that's why I stay with Dostoevsky, who said back in the 19th century, if God's existence is denied, then anything becomes possible, or better, permissible.
That's the problem.